Okay, picture this. It's a Tuesday evening. You're on the couch. Maybe you've got a cup of tea. The day's kind of winding down. You're in your safe space. And you're just, casually browsing the news on your laptop or scrolling through a recipe. You are totally relaxed. And then, without warning, bam,
Chaos.
total chaos. Your screen freezes up, and this siren noise, like a literal air raid siren, starts blaring out of your speakers. A massive red pop-up covers everything, flashing, warning, virus detected.
It's a visceral moment. I mean, it's designed to create instant biological panic.
It totally works. Or take another one. You get a text. It looks like it's from your bank, the one you trust, and it says, urgent, suspicious activity detected. Your account will be closed in 30 minutes unless you verify. And there's a link right there.
Yeah, both of those are the stuff of modern nightmares. They hit you right in the gut.
They really do. And that is exactly what we are unpacking today on the Deep Dive. But I want to be clear right from the start, we aren't just talking about hacking in the, technical sense.
Right. It's not about code.
No, we're not talking about guys in hoodies trying to brute force a firewall. We're exploring something much more subtle and, frankly, much more effective. We're talking about psychological warfare.
That is absolutely the right lens to view this through. It's hacking the human, not the machine.
Exactly. We're looking at how scammers hack our brains, specifically using fear and urgency, to bypass our logic. And to help us, we've got this really great guide on understanding scams and fraud. It breaks down two major categories that I think everyone has either seen or will see: the tech support scam and the grandparent scam.
And, before we get into the scary stuff, I think our mission here is really important. The goal is not to make you paranoid.
Right.
We don't want you throwing your phone into a lake. The goal is to be empowering. Because when you understand the script these people are using, when you can see the strings, you can recognize the performance and you can opt out of it.
Opt out of the performance. I like that. It feels like we have a choice, even when it feels like we don't.
So let's start with that first act, the tech support theater.
So the source describes this as a situation where scammers pretend to be support agents to scare you into paying them. But how does the trap actually, snap shut?
Well, the key word there is pretend. It's all a performance. The source highlights a few triggers. We mentioned the pop-up saying you have a virus, but it could also be a cold call claiming your device is infected or a text demanding you click a link to fix something.
So they invent a problem.
They invent a problem you didn't know you had. And what I found fascinating in the guide is the psychology they use right after that. They create this sense of dependency. The source says the scammer will often claim that only they can fix the problem.
Right.
And that's a critical psychological trick. It isolates you. If I tell you that you have this catastrophic problem, the virus is about to eat all your photos, and then I immediately say, I'm the only person in the world who can stop this, I've just created a closed loop.
So you feel like you can't hang up.
You can't hang up because I've established myself as the one and only savior.
So they create the poison and sell you the antidote in the same breath.
Precisely. And then comes the second punch, the rush. The source is so clear that red flag number one is they rush you or create panic.
So why is speed so important to them? Why not give you time to think?
Because panic is the scammer's best friend. I mean, biologically, when we panic, our critical thinking just shuts down. It's an amygdala hijack.
Fight or flight.
Totally. You go into fight or flight mode,
Yeah.
and in that state, you're not analyzing grammar, you're not checking URLs, you're certainly not pausing to think about logic. You're just trying to survive. They need you to act before your logical brain turns back on.
It's pretty sophisticated, really. It's manipulating our own biology and the escalation. I mean, the guide says they often ask you to install an app for remote help.
And this is the digital equivalent of letting a stranger walk through your front door just because they yelled that your house might be on fire from the porch.
That is a terrifying but perfect analogy.
You wouldn't let a random person rummage through your filing cabinets, but that's what remote access software lets them do on your computer.
Wow. Okay, so we know they create this theater of the mind. But the source also talks about the visual aspect. These fake alerts and emails, they can look surprisingly real.
They do, but they're almost never perfect. And that little bit of imperfection, that's your advantage.
I want to zoom in on one specific detail from the source that, I'm not kidding, it blew my mind. It's so simple, but I would miss it. The guide warns about checking the sender's email. It gives the example of support@paypal.com. But the L in PayPal is not an L.
It's a capital I.
It's a capital I. PayPay.
Right.
PayPay.
Yeah.
On a computer screen, maybe you spot it, but on a phone screen with that small font, a capital I looks identical to a lowercase L. That is so sneaky.
Well, it relies on the fact that our brains are efficiency machines. You know, we don't read every single letter. We see patterns. We see P-A-Y-P-A, and our brain just fills in the rest.
We just assume it's right.
We assume it's safe because the shape of the word looks right.
So if our brains are working against us, how do we spot these fakes? The source has a great checklist, like 5 visual clues. I think we should walk through them.
Let's do it.
Number one, we just talked about, sender's info.
Right. Strange addresses, like we just saw with the PayPal trick, or an unfamiliar phone number. If your bank usually texts you from a 5-digit number and suddenly you get a text from a random mobile number,
yeah,
that's a huge red flag.
Okay, that makes sense. Number two, weird links or QR codes.
This is a big one. The source has a golden rule here. If you did not expect it, do not click. And QR codes are a new favorite for scammers because you can't see the URL before you scan it.
It's a blind leap of faith.
It's a total mystery box. You're scanning it and just hoping for the best.
All right, number three, awkward language.
Yeah, you have to trust your gut on this one. The source mentions typos, odd grammar, writing that just feels unnatural. A real company like Apple or Amazon has teams of copywriters. They don't usually send emails with broken sentences or weird slang.
If it reads like a bad translation, be suspicious. Okay, number four, brand details.
Look closely. Is the logo a little blurry? Are the colors slightly off? Scammers often just take a screenshot of a real logo, so it ends up being low quality.
Right.
Real companies use crisp, high-def graphics.
And number five, which connects back to the psychology we talked about, refusal to disengage.
This is maybe the biggest tell in the book. The source says, the caller will not let you hang up to call them back. A real bank or a real tech support agent will never stop you from hanging up. In fact, they usually encourage it for security. If someone is talking over you, keeping you on the line, that's not customer service. That's a hostage negotiation.
That is not customer service. I'm going to remember that one. Okay, so that covers the technical side. But the source then moves on to something even more, I don't know, insidious.
The grandparent scam.
Yeah. This one targets the heart. The setup is just brutal. Someone calls claiming a family member, a grandchild, a niece, a son is in trouble. Jail, a hospital, stuck abroad.
And it's so effective because it bypasses the brain completely and goes straight for our protective instincts. You hear your grandchild is hurt, and your immediate reaction isn't to check the font on an email. It's, how do I fix this? How do I save them?
They're exploiting love. And just like the tech scam, there's a specific weapon they use. The guide points out the most dangerous red flag here is the request for secrecy.
This is so crucial. The source says they'll ask you not to tell anyone. They'll say, please don't tell my parents, they'll kill me. Or, we have to keep this quiet for legal reasons.
So why is that so important to the spam? Why not let me call for help?
Because secrecy buys them time and it ensures you're isolated. If you tell your spouse, hey, Mike is in jail in Mexico, your spouse might say, that's impossible. I just saw him post a photo from his living room 5 minutes ago.
The scam just falls apart.
It falls apart the second a third person gets involved. They need you alone in your fear.
And the demand is always for immediate money, of course. So what's the defense? The source has a specific counter move.
Verification. It's so simple. The guide advises, call the family member directly. Even if the voice on the phone says, I can't talk, my phone was taken, hang up and call their actual number.
What if they don't answer? I mean, that could make you panic more, you know?
You call another relative. The source says to confirm their whereabouts, call their mom, their spouse, their roommate. You just need one person to say, no, he's right here. Or he's at work and the spell is broken.
It's amazing how a simple phone call can just shatter that illusion. But let's talk about the end game. In all of these scams, it always comes down to the money, right?
Follow the money. And the source gives us some very hard rules about payment methods that are instant warning signs.
The biggest one being gift cards.
Yes. The source is explicit. Never pay with gift cards for tech support.
It sounds almost funny when we say it like this. Like, why would I pay the IRS with iTunes cards?
It sounds absurd in the cold light of day.
Yeah.
But remember, they put you in a state of panic. You're not thinking about the absurdity. But let's be clear why they want them. It's because gift cards are like cash.
Untraceable.
Untraceable and non-refundable. Once you read those numbers off the back, the money is gone. Instantly laundered.
So it's about the speed of laundering. Legitimate companies do not do this.
No. The government does not take payment in gift cards, period. If the IRS is asking for a Target gift card, it's 100% a scam.
What are the other unusual payments the source warns about?
Wire transfers, cryptocurrency, and payment apps. All for the same reason. They're fast and usually irreversible. A real business will take a credit card or send you an invoice. If they're demanding Bitcoin to fix your printer, just hang up.
And it's not just money, is it? The source mentions a data grab.
Right. Information is currency. The guide lists the big targets. Social Security numbers, Medicare numbers, bank details. They can use that for identity theft later or just sell it on the dark web.
There's one specific piece of data the source highlights that I want to double-click on. The one-time code.
Oh, this is vital. The rule is, never share a one-time code. These are the codes texted to your phone to verify it's you logging in, you know. Two-factor authentication.
Right.
If a support agent on the phone asks you to read them that code, hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
What are they actually doing at that moment?
They're trying to break into your account, your bank, your email, whatever, and that code is the only thing stopping them. They already have your password. You're literally giving them the key to unlock the door.
Okay, so we know the red flags. We know the tricks. But let's say we're in the moment. The screen is flashing. The adrenaline is pumping. The source suggests an ultimate defense strategy. It calls it the pause.
The pause. It sounds so simple, but it is the most powerful tool you have. The source says, if it feels urgent or scary, pause.
So literally, just stop.
Yes, stop. If you feel that emotional spike, that fear, that panic, treat that feeling as a warning light on your dashboard.
Mm.
It doesn't mean act fast. It means someone is trying to manipulate me.
And practically, what does that look like? The guide has a hang-up protocol.
It does. If you're on the phone and they claim to be the IRS, Medicare, your bank, whoever, if you feel that pressure, here's the protocol. Number one, hang up.
Just cut the connection.
Just hang up. Don't say goodbye. Don't apologize. Number two, look up the official number yourself. Don't use the one they gave you. Look on the back of your credit card or your bank statement. And number three, call them back directly.
That puts the control back in your hands.
Exactly. You go from being the victim of a cold call to the customer initiating a service request.
What about the digital side? Like if you can't close a pop-up?
That's a common panic point. A little X button might be fake or the whole browser is frozen. The guide says, close the whole browser. If you can't, restart the device. Just power it down. It breaks the loop.
And crucially, the source says, do not click links in unexpected emails.
Right. Type the website in yourself. If you get an email from your bank, don't click the login here button. Open a new browser and type your bank's address in manually. It takes 5 seconds, but it guarantees you're going to the real site.
So sometimes, you know, we might still be unsure. We paused, but we're still worried. What if it is my grandson? The source suggests who to call.
It suggests building a trusted circle. Call a family member or a friend. You know, sometimes just saying the story out loud to another person makes the scam obvious.
Yeah.
Hey, does it make sense that Microsoft is calling me to ask for gift cards? As soon as the words leave your mouth, you hear how ridiculous it sounds. But inside your head, under panic, it can make sense. You need that external reality check.
And you can also call your bank or the local police non-emergency line.
Yes. They deal with this every single day. They can verify things for you instantly.
Okay, let's go to the worst case scenario. We're human. We get tired. We get stressed. We click the link. What if we realize too late that we fell for it?
The first thing the source emphasizes is action. But I would add, implicit in this, is that there should be no shame. These scammers are professionals. They're good at what they do.
Right.
They're basically professional actors and psychologists. Feeling ashamed just keeps you from getting the help you need.
That's a huge point. That shame factor stops people from reporting it. So what's the immediate checklist from the guide?
First, stop talking to the person. Cut off all communication. Second, take a screenshot if you can. Evidence is always helpful. And third, contact your bank or credit card company immediately if you shared payment info. They can often freeze things or reverse charges if you catch it early.
And there's a specific place to report it, right?
Yes. The source specifically mentions reportfraud.ftc.gov. And reporting is so crucial because it helps the authorities track these scams, see the patterns, and shut them down.
And the final step in damage control.
Tell your family. Warn them. If your information was compromised, scammers might try to use your identity to target them next. Letting them know helps put their guard up.
So to wrap this up, let's revisit the golden rule from the source. It really sums up everything.
It does. Real companies, banks, and government offices will not rush you, threaten you, or demand secrecy. If someone is doing any of those three things, it is not a legitimate interaction.
It's so important to just internalize that. Legitimacy does not require panic.
That's the takeaway. And if I could leave everyone with just one final thought. We're raised to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We don't like to be rude to people on the phone.
That's a really provocative thought.
But in the digital world, that politeness can be a vulnerability. Scammers rely on your desire to be a good person who listens. But your willingness to just hang up, without apology, without explanation, that is a superpower. The next time you feel that spike of panic, remember, your most powerful security tool is simply taking a deep breath and hanging up the phone.
Being rude to a scammer is actually self-defense. I love that. Thank you so much for breaking all this down. It's scary stuff, but I feel a lot more prepared.
My pleasure. Stay safe out there.
And thank you to everyone listening to this deep dive. Hopefully you never have to use these tips, but now you have them if you need them. Take care, and we'll catch you on the next one.